Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Glad that I'm saved. Glad that I know the Lord. And I do enjoy being in church. And I enjoy being a Christian.
Amen.
I'm not a Christian because I'm good. Because I'm not always good. I'm not a Christian because I've done anything to deserve it. Because I don't think I do. I'm Christian because I can't imagine anybody not believing in God. I'm Christian because when I was 12 years old, I was sitting in a revival service, and a preacher preached, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, let me know that I was lost. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't believe in God. I don't argue with them. I know Him. He changed my life. What that song? He set me free. And I'm thankful. Now, if you got your Bible this morning, I'm going to give you a title. I got an introduction, then we're going to get to some scripture. I like to read a verse of scripture first, but this is different. And when God kind of gave me this thought this week, I actually questioned it. And it was almost like, Lord, did that come from me or you? Because that sounds disrespectful. But I want to preach on this subject, dealing with God. Wow. You know, how do you deal with God? Then you can look at this, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. How do you deal with others? Then we're going to talk a little bit about how God deals with you. Now, when I got this title and I began to look at it, I thought, I don't know if I can preach. You know how this is the same old thing. God, I don't know if I can preach on that. God, are you sure you want me to do that? How's that going to work? And I looked in my Bible. Of course, I use a King James Version, and I found deal, the word deal, 58 times. The word dealt, which we're going to read out of 103rd Psalm in just a minute, and some of my favorite scripture. I've never preached on this subject or this in this manner. The word dealt is in the Bible 56 times. Now, the question I guess we have is, and this is what we want to look at really, is how do you deal with God? You know, perhaps you've never really thought about it in those terms, but you do it every day. You see? But in order to understand it, I think we first have to look at it, the perspective of how we deal with each other. How we deal with others and how others deal with us. Now, in order to do that, I want us to turn. This is where we're going to read first, but we'll get into some other scripture in a minute. In Luke chapter number 6, and I want to read verse number 31 to verse number 36. Now, we find in this particular passage of scripture what is known as the golden rule. I remember one time when I was just a kid, and when I say kid, I'm talking about grammar school age. I had a man try to convince me that the Bible says, do unto others before they do it unto you. Now, he was a family member, and you all got these kind of family members, you know, kind of distant. But he was messed up. He was under the influence of something. And he got to talking to me out in the yard, and he got to telling me, and he wanted to argue with me. Now, the Bible says it. He said, he kind of tried to give me the message to go along with it. He said, you got to get it to them before they get to you. He said, the Bible says it. Well, folks, the Bible does not say that. The Bible tells us how that we're supposed to treat others. And look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. It says, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, and what thank, or the word there, thank, it means what blessing have you. If you love them that love you, what blessing do you have? For sinners also love them that love them. But if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank or what blessing have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank or what blessing do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind. Listen to this. This is talking about God. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. People don't realize that. They don't realize how good God's been to them every time they get up in the morning and the sun shines on them and the grass grows and the garden grows and the rain comes and there's food in the grocery store and they walk around mocking God, but he loves them anyway. And he's given us this example of how we're supposed to treat others. And then the 36th verse, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Now, aren't you thankful for God's mercy?
Amen.
I am. You see, the Bible teaches us that this is how we should deal with others. But do we do it this way? Do we often do it this way? You know, sometimes we do, and I don't want to paint a completely bleak picture because I believe there's some great people at Hiram First Baptist Church, okay? You got people here that give of themselves, and this is kind of the way it is as we're trying to fill these committees. We got some people going to take six jobs because other people won't take one job, okay? So I guess there's a little bit for both sides of that. If you're here and all you want to do is like this, I heard a preacher put it this way. He said, everybody wants to go to the football game. When you score a touchdown, they'll run down to the end zone and they want to cheer. But they don't want to do any work in the meantime to help you get there. I didn't know that was coming, but there it is. See, do we do it this way, or maybe we should consider, are we always treated that way? I have people sometimes show me love and compassion, and I say, Lord, I don't deserve that. I remember one time when my little son Luke was born, we had a family, and I've told this story before, but I don't tell you, it impacted my life. They didn't just bring food. Now, sometimes people bring food, but we had people show up at the door, and she had a tray about this big, and it had a roast, and it had potatoes, and it had carrots. It's not too close to lunch, y'all. Hang on. It had gravy in there. It had Vidalia onions cooked in it, and there was a big dessert, and there were rolls. And when I looked at it, I told my wife, I said, this is not just a meal. This is a sacrifice. Because these people don't eat like this every day, and they're giving us better than they even will have themselves. Amen. Can I tell you, there's people in here like that.
Amen.
But there's some people in here that ain't. There's some people in your life. And when we get into it, you're going to know. How do we treat others? Have I treated them the way that I want to be treated? I tell you who I have to look at first anytime God gives me a message is this guy right here.
Yes, amen.
Now, I'll tell you who I have the most trouble with. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's me.
Yeah, amen.
It's me. I am my biggest problem. And when God gives me a message, I tell you who gets it first is me. Now, what about dealing with others? Let's consider this. What about my spouse? When I'm dealing with my spouse and my spouse is dealing with me, how do we deal with each other? And here's the first thought that I had. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that if a man, what a man's supposed to do? It says a man is supposed to love his wife even as Christ loved the church. Now, Jesus said, he said, I am going to be kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, this fits for every particular situation. That means this is what some people say. Well, I'd love my wife, but she's not treating me right. I'd love my kids, but you know they are awful. And my in-laws and my boss and my neighbors. Well, you know, he said love them anyway. You know, I'm supposed to love my wife the way Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He said, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms. This much. I love you this much. You see, what about something? Oh, this is a rough one. What about my ex? How does my ex deal with me? You know, we just have to be honest in America today. Some people say, well, they get so particular who they minister to. I want to tell you something.
Come on.
We better learn how to minister the way that the Lord would minister. You know what the Lord would do if he was here today? He would love everybody.
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 Now, when I begin to think about this, sometimes we're not treated very well by those who have been in our life or who have harmed us in our life. And I heard a preacher tell a joke recently. I'm going to tell it to you right here. I'm telling you it's a joke before I tell it. It's not doctrinally sound. It's a joke. This lady, she died and she went up to heaven. And she gets up to heaven and she gets there and, you know, it doesn't really work this way. But she got up there and St. Peter was standing there at the gate and he stopped her and, you know, she said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm coming home. He said, well, you got to spell the word of the day. She said, the word of the day? He said, yeah, you got. She was beginning to get a little concerned because she wasn't a good speller. You got to spell the word of the day. And she said, well, what is it? He said, you got to spell love. And she brightened up. And she said, oh, L-O-V-E. And he said, well, come on in. You know, we got to understand the love of God to get to heaven, right? That's all. That's all you got to do. Well, she's standing there. And about that time, like a lot of you young people, St. Peter's cell phone rings. And he gets a call and he looks and he says, well, I've got to go. Can you stand here just a minute? He said, it's real easy. If anybody comes, you just tell them, spell the word of the day, and you let them in. Well, she's standing there, and about that time, Peter walks off, and guess who's coming? It's her ex-husband. He's walking up to the door, and she looks at him, and she stops him. She says, well, you can't come, just come in. And she's looking, waiting for Peter to come back. He's not made it. She's finally looks at him and she says, you've got to spell the word of the day. And he said, well, what is it? And she stops a minute. She looks around. She says, spell Czechoslovakia. You see, we're not always treated the way that we want to be treated, are we? I've seen it too many times. What about my children? How many times, I ask you the question, how many times have you given something to one of your kids knowing that they don't have the experience or the aptitude to even know how to appreciate it, and you give it to them anyway because you love them? It's just because you love them. You say, well, if they'd act right, if they'd do right, well, good luck. What about your boss? Let's just be honest. Some are good, some are bad. What about your neighbors? Some are good, some are bad. I can't stand a neighbor that does not know where the line's at. They cut their grass and they have to get over on yours about two lawnmowers wide, and then they believe they blowing them in your yard. And here I am, a preacher. I said, I don't want to argue with my neighbor over grass. So I just deal with it. God convicts me through the Holy Spirit. And I go in the house and I say, thank you, Lord, that they don't like rap music and have pit bulldogs. Amen. Could be worse. Now, what about your in-laws? I love my, I heard all your size in the house. I love my in-laws. But can I tell you, mamas and daddies and in-laws, the Bible says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That's a whole different message right there. I don't have time to dwell on it. But there comes a time when you got to let them grow up. Comes a time you got to know when to mind your own business. You know, I guess the question is, how do you deal with them? I'm going to tell you this right here. Here's the point. There are going to be people in your life every day that are not going to do right. They're not going to act right. But God says you're supposed to love them anyway. And he said you're supposed to treat them a certain way anyway. But how are we treated by others? How do others deal with us? How is it when you go and you're dealing with the spouse, the in-laws, the ex, the family, the children? Here's what most of the time, here's what happens. You are judged based on these things. You're judged based on performance. If you don't perform at the right level, you're told about it just like that. Now, you know that it's that way at work, okay, but you're there to do a job. But even then, I want to tell you something. I don't care where you're at, there should be a period of grace in your life. It's for school teachers, it's for your boss, and I tell them where I work, anybody can have a bad day, and you're going to have one every now and then, right? You see, you judge based on performance. A lot of times when you deal with others, you're often unappreciated. In other words, when you should be appreciative, you know, people thanking you for what you do, they just feels like you're never appreciated. Sometimes when you're dealing with others or others are dealing with you, you feel unloved. And I tell you, love's something that everybody should feel. Everybody. I was watching with my son recently. We were watching this movie, and it's something about a guy who's on this spaceship, and he's traveling. And during the time he's traveling, and this is, of course, not true either, but he's traveling, and he's asleep for 30 years, and he wakes up, and he's the only one on the ship. And after a certain number of days, he goes over to a spacesuit that's standing there, and he puts his hands on the spacesuit. And he leans his head over on the shoulder. You know, that principle is in the Word of God. Doesn't it say that two are better than one? But here's the sad thing, the way that people deal with us. Sometimes you can come to church every Sunday and people, you not feel like people love you. You can be in a house with people that are beside you and across from you. It's not just that they're there. Do they show you that they love you? How about feelings of being unaccepted? There's nothing wrong with having a standard, but you got to feel like you're accepted. You know, when all these things are coupled together, and here's where I think a lot of people are, what you ultimately feel like is you feel used. In other words, the only thing that reason people show me any attention or people are around me at all the time, it's only because they want something from me. You ever felt like that? You ever been around one of those kind of people? I used to have a customer years ago, and a guy warned me about him. He said, now every word he says to you, he has a motive. And even if he's being nice to you, it's because he wants something more back. See, sometimes, unfortunately, that's the way the world makes us feel. See, sometimes what happens when we deal with others, it's criticism. It's manipulation. It's feelings of being cheated, of being taken advantage of, or not being appreciated. And it's terrible to feel like everyone that is nice to you or that's around you is only doing it because they want something out of you. You see, unfortunately, that's often the way that we deal with others. Now, I know that not everyone is not like this, but as I say this, I believe that people can relate to it. Yeah. You know it. You've experienced it in your life. And as I think about that and I begin to think about our relationship with God, I guess we need to ask ourselves this question. How do we deal with God? How do we deal with God? Do we do the same thing? Do we only come to God and are we only nice to God, or do we only speak to God or pray when we want God to do something for us? Or do we love Him? Do we love Him because He first loved us? Do we love Him? Do we have a relationship with Him? Or do we only want to come to God and treat Him the same way? You see, it's truly something for us individually to think about. But I want to give you just four things that God laid on my heart as I thought about how do you deal with God. And I believe the Bible teaches us that every person should work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe it's a personal relationship with the living God. And can I say this? It's your relationship with God. You can't live by my convictions. I remember one time when I was just a youth, and I'm talking about little youth prior to probably grammar school age, I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and by the way, Sunday school teachers, kids, people do have that long of a memory. What you're doing matters. So I was sitting in this Sunday school class, and my Sunday school teacher was there, and we were talking about relationship with God and building and growing in your convictions. And by the way, if your convictions are not growing, you're not growing. And she said, she began to talk about things, about how that sometimes you might do something, and she said another person might not be convicted by it. And she said, y'all, speaking to us as kids, might do things that I wouldn't feel like would be right for me. And, of course, I didn't understand that. My little mind, I said, what? How can that be? What are you talking about? And she said, well, for instance, I mean, y'all might go to, and this was back, y'all remember drive-ins?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all don't remember drive-ins. I had to come up with something else for y'all. She said, there was a drive-in up on South Cobb Drive at the time, and they had a bad reputation. She said, I wouldn't go up there. Her husband was a preacher. They're Christian folks. And you said, you might say, well, ain't nothing wrong with the drive-in. You know what I said? Ain't nothing wrong with the drive-in. And she said, well, I just feel convicted in my heart. You got to grow. It's your relationship with God. And if you're not growing, you're not growing. But here's the thing, and the reason I said that is this. When you deal with God, number one thing you do is you deal with God honestly. Why do you deal with God honestly? I'll tell you why. Because God already knows. You can't come to God and play games with God. This is the way your kids come to you. They'll give you half truth. And I've had them do this. They give mama one half and me the other half, and we come together. And when we put the two halves together, we both look at each other and said, well, if I'd have known that, they wouldn't have went. You deal with God honestly because God already knows. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Then it says this in Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Here's what I want you to understand. Nothing you do, nothing you think, nothing in your life surprises God, nor is it too big for God. He can handle it. And when you come before him, if you don't come before him honestly, you can't do business with God. So you come before God, he knows. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 8, the latter part of the verse says this. It says, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him.
Amen.
Now here's what I really want us to get from this right here. When you come to God, you got to get real with God. You got to get real with him. He already knows what's going on in your life. But if you don't come before him and lay it out before him and be honest with God, you're not going to get what you need. I tell you something else you got to do. Number two, when you come to God, how do you deal with God? The Bible teaches this. You come to him boldly. Boldly. It says this in Hebrews in chapter number 4, in verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then it says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here's what I'm talking about. Some people are going to understand this. Some people are going to struggle with this. But there is such a thing as a Christian who's saved by the grace of God. They can have a struggle in their life, and because they're afraid of being judged, they may not tell you. They don't want to tell you that they're struggling with alcohol. They don't want to tell you that they're struggling with opiate addiction and how heavy it is on their life. They don't want to tell you the problems that are in their home because they're afraid if they do, first thing you're going to say, well, you just need to get saved and all that mess and go away. Don't work that way. Sometimes a person can get saved like Paul on the road to Damascus. The next time you see him, he's preaching the gospel. But there are people who struggle every day. And when you come to God, here's what boldness is. You say, God, you know everything about me. You know what my struggles are. And if I'm going to get help, God, you got to help me right now. And you lay it on him. I want to tell you, I've come down here and I've prayed in this altar. I've come in here by myself sometime, and there'll be a problem. And I say, Lord, you know what it is. You know how big it is. I can't fix it. You got to do it.
Amen.
That's boldly coming before the Lord. How can we do that? If you read the scriptures before, it said he walked here and he sacrificed himself for you and he lived a perfect sinless life so that when he stands before God the Father, he can make intercession and it will be accepted. Boldly. You see, when you come to God, be bold. Have you ever prayed and said, all right, God, it's on you. I can't do it. But you can. How about this? Be specific. Be specific. Sometimes we pray in a vast array, Lord, thy will be done. I tell you what y'all pray for. Lord, pay the land off. Lord, we need a bigger building. Lord, we need a gym so we can have an Awana Square. What do you need to specifically pray for? You see, sometimes we know before we come before the Lord, we're not praying for His honor and glory. I mean, you might as well not. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't have because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. But when you come before the Lord and you got a problem, and you say, God, if it's going to be fixed, you've got to do it. Here's what I want you to also understand about praying boldly. It's when you pray boldly and you come before the Lord and you know you're praying in God's will, be expectant. Expect God to do something. I've had times in my life that I have prayed, and when God answered my prayer, it shocked me. And the Holy Spirit come and convicted me, and He said, why are you surprised when you seek me and you ask me something that I do it? He's God. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal. He wants to move.
Amen.
Be honest. Be bold. But I want to tell you something. I was studying this that came to my heart that we can't forget. When we come before God, we must come reverently. Now, let's don't forget that. Let's don't forget that. You see, we come respectfully, and here's sometimes something I think people forget. If you go back prior to Jesus being on the cross, there was a temple. And there was a veil that covered the door of that temple. And it was braided in colors of purple and lavender, and it was thick. And when Jesus died on the cross, the scripture said that that veil rent. It tore wide open from the top to the bottom. It just flew open. And now, me. Just little old me. I don't have to have a priest go on my behalf. I don't have to sit behind a curtain and tell somebody my problems and ask them to pray on my behalf. They got sin just like I do. But I can go into the Holy of Holies and I can stand in the presence of God and I can cry out to Him and I can have a personal relationship with Him. But let's don't forget, that's still the Holy of Holies. And when we walk into the temple and we're in the very presence of God, we should be reverent and we should be humble before Him.
Yes.
You know, you go back into the Old Testament before the day of grace, when the priests used to go into the Holy of Holies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Tom's talked about this some recently. They'd tie a rope to his leg.
Right.
Because if he went in there and he was irreverent or he had something in his life and God looked down, there's been times they'd feel him or hear him hit the ground and they'd take that rope. They'd have to drag him back out.
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to understand. We can come honest. We can come bold. But you're coming into the presence of a living God. He's not to be mocked. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. So we come reverently. And I looked at a verse. I found this in the Old Testament and the New. And I've quoted this before. And sometimes I've said stuff, whether teaching or preaching. And I've had people meet me and they say, that ain't in the Bible. It used to be difficult because I'd go to my concordance and I'd flip pages and sometimes I could find it quick, sometimes not. I tell you all what, I got an iPad now.
Come on.
And I can show you. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. This is Old Testament. Even a jealous God.
Yeah.
In Hebrews 12:29, it says this. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, in my relationship with my children, and I learned this talking to my dad, and he told me this because this is something he did not have with his dad. He said, when I was a kid and there was a problem, he said, there's been times that I would get whipped and never even get to explain. And my dad would always sit me down and listen to me. He was a godly man. Now, I'll tell you this, if he told me I was going to get a spanking when we got home from church, he was an honest man. But he would let me speak. He would let me say whatever I wanted to say. There's something I always had to remember. He's my dad. There's a line that I wouldn't cross. When you're dealing with God, he's God. You see, he is holy. In 1 Peter 1:16 it says, "But it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So when you're coming into his presence honestly and boldly, remember to be reverent. But I want to give you this last one. When you deal with God, you need to deal with God intimately. You study the Bible, and the Bible teaches us that Abraham was the friend of God. Now, God's holy, and God's high and lifted up, and we know what Isaiah said about him when he saw him in the temple. Said he was high and lifted up, and he said he is holy, holy, holy. You say it three times, it's like very, very. See, I believe God's greatest attribute is holiness. I've heard people say, well, God's greatest attribute is love. I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. I believe his greatest attribute is holiness, which is above love, and out of his holiness comes his love and his mercy and his grace and his goodness to you and I. You and I can love one another. We decide to do it or not do it. But because he's holy, he always does it. So we stand before God. Abraham stood before him as a friend of God. What does it say of David? And we know that David sinned, but I'll tell you, you and I sin too. But the Bible says that Solomon, who was David's son, who was the wisest king, right? Said Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David his father. Although David sinned, I'll tell you something David never did. He never bowed to a false god. Now, John 15:14, New Testament. This is for me. This is for you. He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." See, when I come before the Lord, although he is holy and he is high as lifted up, guess what God has done for me? It's just like my dad. He said, "I'm going to sit down right here. God's ready to meet anybody this morning." He said, "I'm going to let you tell me all about it." He said, "I'm going to let you just pour your heart out." He said, "I want you to be honest with me." He said, "You can come boldly because I am God. And I do love you. And I did give my son for you. And I'm willing to help you if you'll just come to me." And it's intimate. It's like being in the arms of a big brother. I said, like. And he puts his arms around you. He says, "I got your back. I love you. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to be here for you." See, we have an intimate relationship with God. I want to give you this, and then I'm going to close. I'm going to ask him to come with a song. Now, we've talked about how we deal with others and how we deal with God, but how does God deal with you? I tell you what it's not like. It's not like others. Here's the scripture in Psalms 13:6. It says, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." There's that word, dealt. Now here it is, Psalms 103. This is a scripture that came on my heart. I want to read this to you. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 13 says this. Speaking of God, says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Let's read that 10th verse again. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, In other words, he treats me better than I deserve. You see, when I come before the Lord and I'm doing business with God and I'm dealing with God and God's dealing with me, I get treated better than I deserve. I'm never treated unfairly. See, even sometimes people who say they love you, they can change. But God don't. See, when I'm dealing with God and He's dealing with me, here's another thing. You know, I mentioned giving something to somebody and they don't even understand what you're giving them. What about what God's done for you? You see, He gives me far more than I could ever give Him. You think, well, I put my money in the offering plate this morning. And I agreed to do that job. And I come to church pretty regular. I'm doing my part. Can I repeat? He gives you far more than you could, ever give Him. And I want to say one more thing about this cross. You know, you study the story where Christ was crucified. The cross that He hung on literally was erected for a man whose name was Barabbas. And they brought Barabbas out, who was guilty of sedition and murder, robbery, murder, common outlaw, criminal. Guilty. No question he was guilty. But it was customary to release one, and they said, let us have that outlaw, that criminal, and put Jesus on his cross. And that's symbolic of this. That's my cross. Amen. See, when I'm dealing with God and God's dealing with me, I tell you the greatest thing He did. He took my place. We traded places. And there's one thing for certain when you come to the Lord. When you pray, I don't care what your problem is. You may not can tell it to anybody. You can tell it to God. God already knows. Tell you what He does. He loves you. He loves you like you are. And He loves you anyway. He loves you. And I want to say this, and then we're going to ask Him to come and get a verse of song. You say, well, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know what I can give the Lord. I can't imagine God loving me that way. I want to tell you something about God when He deals with you. He never asks for more than you can give. It's not about what can I give Him. It's about, are you going to accept what He did for you? That's all. Last verse, and we're going to let them sing. Ask you if you would to rise to your feet. In Psalms 116 and verse 7, it says this, and I believe this is where God wants us to be. It says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I tell you where I get my peace from. Not from what I do. I can't do nothing. I get my peace from knowing that when I fail, He loves me. When I struggle, He loves me. When I do what I'm supposed to, He loves me. But the truth is, when I don't, He loves me. And I am at rest in Jesus Christ, not because of what I do, but because of what He's already done. If you're here this morning and you need to deal with God, come down here and just pour it out to Him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you already know that. I believe God's already told you. You can. All you got to do is say, Lord, I want Your love in my life. And accept Jesus. As they're saying, if God spoke to your heart, would you come?
But things change and God on the mountain
is still God in the valley.
When things go wrong,
He'll make them right.
And the God of the good times
is still God in the bad times.
The God of the day
is still God in the night.
The God of the day
is still God in the night.
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never alone. God on the mountain
is still God in the valley.
Things go wrong,
He'll make them right.
And the God of the good times
is still God in the bad times.
The God of the day
is still God.
One more time, and this is something that I think the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews there remaineth therefore